Well, this morning, there was some good news mixed amongst all the other news. We've been following the drama, and who couldn't help it, of the Chilean miners underground now for several months, and it seems that their deliverance is just days away. It's something to be really thankful for. Anita is a trainer at a local gym. She comes from Chile. Earlier this year, her friends phoned her and said there was an earthquake, 8.2 on the Richter scale. And she thought, well, you know, they come around every 20 years and they always happen in the north of Chile. Her family is in the south. But when she turned on the TV, she couldn't believe it. The earthquake was in Concepcion. And on top of that, a tsunami was whamming the coast. For 2 days, she didn't know if any of her family had survived. They did. And then she went down for 2 months to help her mother rebuild the home. And she came back with many stories of people pitching in to deliver their neighbors off rooftops. And they found the courage and resilience to do that. One of the ways that we show our gratitude or that we're grateful for, it's just plain deliverance. Our reading this morning, led by the clarion voice of Jane, that was really great. Our reading from Deuteronomy talks about gratitude for deliverance. Our ancestors in faith remembered what it was like to be aliens, to be a minority, rapidly growing to be a majority, and therefore breeding resentment in the host country. And so they were afflicted with labor, as they remembered, and they knew God as the one who took part in their deliverance. And then, when they started to get settled, they gave their gratitude in two ways. What they first did was create a space of beauty where they could come and make conscious contact with God, with our higher power, with however we say and think of our holy friend. So they created a space of conscious beauty where they'd bring a portion of their labor, the first fruits of the harvest. And there the priests would redistribute it to everybody, including the aliens that lived in their midst. And they learned that expressing gratitude meant reaching out to the ones who were different. These are lessons we have to keep learning. We've been struck on the news this last week by 4 suicides of gay teenagers. And perhaps at the same time heartened by the sturdy words of movie stars like Ellen DeGeneres, who says, "This will change, and you will be alive to see the change." We're reminded that expressing our gratitude means we play a part in one another's liberation, and that we step up to building justice. Gratitude is a building block of our lives, just as much as brick and mortar is a building block for homes or factories. Gratitude and justice are essential building blocks for the kind of society we want to live in, the kind of world we want our young people to feel safe and free in. Well, Mary Jo Leddy has written a book called Radical Gratitude. Some of you are familiar with it. This phrase best names the sturdy, practical gratitude our ancestors in faith talk about, not, as one Toronto Jar journalist takes a jab at, the cloying, endless little gratitudes that Oprah has us say over and over. I don't agree with his assessment of Oprah. I think writing down those little gratitudes actually helps. It becomes a discipline to write it out and be conscious of all the little things daily that give us energy, like the hug, that make us feel like offering more, that helps somebody else's energy extend. That is how we help each other into our days and into good days, no matter what's going on. Mary Jo's word, radical gratitude, invites us to think that we're grateful for a world that we did not make for ourselves, but that was given to us as a gift. We have the joy and responsibility of being stewards and sojourners, not owners. Mary Jo couples her life word, gratitude, with another word, enough. When we realize we are not the owners but the recipients of a gift, we open up to the possibility of saying enough. We already have enough, and now we can reach out and share. We can live with open hands ready to receive as well. Because that which we need and lack, in fact, someone else wants to share and give. And when we do want more, we must release what is currently in our hands to make room for the good gifts our Creator has. Our Creator's intention was for a good world, and we partner with God and others of goodwill to bring this about. Not working with the anxiousness of an owner, or that sense of entitlement which our consumer society praises and schools us in. Not with this, but with the freedom of partnership. Well, on this day of 10-10-10, we're all being asked to do acts for climate change, right? To prevent climate change, to care for our environment. The 350.org group is encouraging this. I know that you all are mindful of this. Our church, thanks to efforts from Betsy Anderson and others of you, on October 26th, our board will be considering a policy on climate justice and environmental sustainability. And once that's approved, we'll be given some guidance on how to collectively live that out and be inspired personally on living that out. We'll talk about inspiration. I have friends in Eden Mills. Who's been out there? That gorgeous little village on the Aramosa River. The Authors Festival happens there. Well, the good people of Eden Mills decided they would be collectively accountable for their carbon flow. Their goal is to be carbon neutral. And so they filled out long questionnaires. Speaking of the long census, they didn't seem to mind. They filled out a long questionnaire to a person accounting for all their carbon use. So they fess up publicly to each other, and then they're part of the solution. How can we help our neighbors get their carbon down? They're being accountable for the carbon, and they're having a lot of fun doing it. When I went out to visit, you should have seen the sign saying, come and learn how to do canning if you've never done it before, or come and do this, and come and do that. And it was humming with life. Another way of expressing gratitude is lifted up by Joanna Macy. Some of you may be familiar with her. She's a Buddhist social activist. Joanna's been around for a long time. And she developed a method called despair and empowerment work when the nuclear threat was first around. And what this method did was start with gratitude. We start with giving thanks for the awesome powers that science is offering, the discoveries that are possible. But then it led us to express our full pain at some of the horrors. In other words, gratitude doesn't mean just walking around being endlessly cheerful people, but it means starting there and then allowing our pain to be fully expressed, be it for what's happening in the world or what's happening to us within the bodies our spirit inhabits. And so we're allowed to do that, even in the name of gratitude, to name our despair, or name our discouragement, or name our anger. All of this is part of the offering that God wants, because God wants wholeness. And that means we come to the altar with our whole selves, our hurting self and our hoping self, our grateful self and, oh yes, our grumpy self. Does God love grateful people more than grumpy people? I don't know. There's a little bit of that in each of us. But the life lesson is the more we tune into gratitude and that consciousness of gratitude, the more we catch that split-second thought and turn it towards, what's the best for this moment? What serves this moment the best? What's the highest good in this moment? It seems to release some energy that comes and flows and actually starts some good happening. Okay, now we come to the hard stuff. We've heard about a beloved member in our congregation living with a very hard medical diagnosis. We know others of you are facing surgery or have faced surgeries and other uncertainties. And at these times, it can be hard to pull out the gratitude for what's happening in our lives. Sometimes we rely on others traveling the same road. And I'd like to share a few thoughts from a friend of mine, Lucy, who gives to a great many people, and yet a few weeks ago had her own difficult diagnosis. Lucy writes, "It is truly amazing to me how much it has made a difference for my ability to be slowed down and experiencing the nourishment of it all towards my healing. How I cherish the gift of friendship in my life. I have received a little hurricane this past week. With the news that the tumor was indeed malignant, I await the next steps to see what the treatment options for me and pray that I will be awakened to new depths, since this small storm has certainly got my fullest attention and at the moment seems to be named after me." And Lucy goes on to share quite a wonderful poem, which I'd be glad to share if you'd like it. It's not just the big earthquakes and tsunamis that come, it's the personal hurricanes we experience. And we're grateful for the ones who accompany with us, for the expertise of both medical people and the willingness of those who'll pray with us and think with us or bring soup or whatever it takes to be sure that we're not isolated to what's happening in our own skin. For gratitude pulls us out. The whole purpose of gratitude is to express it. So that in fact, rather than just being in our own skin, we're pulled towards the cosmic consciousness that ultimately is our life. That ultimately is our life. It's bigger than us. Our very mind is bigger than us. Sure, our brain is our own organ, but we're part of a cosmic consciousness that's benign and benevolent, seeks for the best possible, cannot prevent random accidents or tragedy, but while these things can't be prevented, can pull out the goodness that can come, and we can find some wholeness as we reach deeply into ourselves to both care for others and be cared for. Gratitude doesn't mean having a stiff upper lip, but it does mean perhaps taking a long, loving look at the cards life is dealing us, and then finding what the good is in the moment to move forward with. The word intention originally meant to stretch. As we set our intentions, we're stretching into a reality that actually we're creating. I'm not that great with sciences, but physics, from my basic understanding, is that something that seems really solid is never really solid at all. It's atoms and little tiny things just hovering until our intention actually shifts the course. Is that right, Derek? I know you'd have a much longer explanation, but the point is, whatever is fixed is really not all that fixed. Our intentions can shift it. And so the power of our intentions and the energy that comes has an effect, a real effect. We can choose the effect that we like. Finally, Paul tells us in Philippians that as we put on the positive intentions of generosity, of gentleness, of joy, of serenity, of all those good words that Jane read earlier, as we fill our minds with everything honorable, upright, true, pure, good, and praiseworthy, in fact, we become like that. And when we live as if we align ourselves to the cosmic consciousness that was most alive in Christ. Paul had an experience that moved his anxious, persecution-oriented personality to a more fruit-bearing life of joy and peace. He knew the kind of hunger and thirst that Jesus was talking about, both literally and metaphorically. His reading and the reading from Philippians entreats us to keep our energies and keep our conscious contact with positive values alive. So, beloved brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The long work of turning our lives into a celebration is not easy. It means even looking back and being grateful for those things that might have otherwise we would have wished to pass us by. There have been good times, there have been hard times. And today we come open to the goodness of now. We set our intentions to co-create, and we offer our life into God's hands. May this be a sweet weekend for you, infused with the autumn colors, sharing some food with good people, and being given the gift of the preciousness of now. Go forward remembering all the good that God has done in our lives, is doing, and will do so as we open ourselves in grateful partnership. Let us pray. O God, you've given us the sturdy word of gratitude, the building block our ancestors used as much as they did bricks and mortars to build. Help us cultivate gratitude as a discipline, just as we would stretch our muscles before we run or walk. Help us stretch into that which we would like to be and see. And be with us in your invisible partnership in this precious now. Amen.